There's a serious message in that song. Please search the book again. There's going to be a lot of crying as Stephen was preaching in Sunday school, teaching in Sunday school this morning. A lot of tears shed when the name's not found in the book. Amen. I want you to use a Bible a little bit this morning. I will try to cram some stuff in our time allotted here today. I'm going to maybe ask you to turn to two or three places. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the, I could call it several titles. I don't know what they'll put on the tape. Could call it the final space rock. I think you see that if I read some of it to you here a little bit. Go into the book of Revelation first. That ought to be the easiest one to find for you. Go to the book of Revelation. We'll jump into chapter 8. If you kept up with the news here in the last couple of weeks, you understand that we had a near miss. We had an asteroid come between the communication satellite and Earth, about 17,000 miles, they say, above Earth. A distance like that in space is just a near miss. Then, of course, while they were talking about it, one slipped up by surprise and hit Russia. And about 1,400 folks were just injured from the concussion. It was out in the ice, but the concussion reached the city and broke all the glass. And a lot of folks were killed. I heard them talking about it on TV. And you know, I'm amazed sometimes. These news folks, they kind of have a smile and a wink about stuff like that. But it's not funny. It's pretty serious business, really. And I heard some of them supposed to be scientific minds talking. They said, well, don't be concerned about that. There's about 90,000 out there that could hit us. Well, that's not too encouraging, is it? Huh? In fact, they've got one they say is on the way. It'll hit in 1926. In case that one misses you, they say there's another one already lined up with us from, I didn't say 1936, 2026, I get it right here, and 2036. So that's a little ahead yet. They're talking about to that. I think about, though, they're saying, you know, maybe we can hit them with a laser, maybe we can move them over them with a bomb or with a missile. I sat inside of a guy on an airplane and tried to tell him a little bit about the gospel, and I told him, I said, this old world, I said, we used it up. It's about gone. Some bad stuff's happening. He said, oh, I know, but the government will take care of us. That's about his most discouraging thing I could ever think of. If you think the government is doing well, ask those ambassadors that got killed over in Benghazi how good it is to trust the government, amen? But this fellow really in the seat in the airplane side of me, I said, well, you know, I said, they tell us asteroids are coming. He said, oh, we'll go up there and we'll shoot them out of the way. Boy, I'm glad my hope goes beyond that. Amen. But over here in Revelation chapter 8, I want to point out maybe here maybe two or three space rocks that's on the way. And they are on the way. Look at it in Revelation chapter 8. We got the angels opening the seventh seal here and talking about this thing. And the first angel sounded in verse 7. And there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast on the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. Read on down, and you will find another one is coming. Verse 10, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the water fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. That word means bitter, poison. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. By the way, that's the exact word that the Russians had a problem with over there when the Chernobyl nuclear plant exploded or messed up. That was the very word for it over there was wormwood, as the fallout and all that business was so poisonous to the people. I want you to move now back to the Old Testament. I want you to go to the book of Daniel. Now, if you can hit Isaiah and go to your right, you'll get Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. If that don't work for you, go back to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and go to your left. When you get to Hosea, slow up because you're about to hit Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, I want you to look at there with me a little bit, and I'll show you the final rock that is on the way. I believe I can show you this. We're looking in Daniel chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 31. I don't think it's strange. You come to a church that believes the Bible. We use it a little bit every now and then. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Here's a dream that Daniel's interpreting for the king, for the world ruler at that time. Nobody else could interpret the dream, but Daniel the prophet comes in, and in that dream that the king had, we have a great prophecy. That prophecy covers all the nations that are yet to be on the world, from the world, starting from the head of gold, which is Babylon, and moving right on down to the time and past the time here in 2013 that you and I live in. See, when you open the Bible, you can get to the real news, amen? When you open the Bible, you can get something solid and real, and yet it's the only book that'll tell you about the future, amen? And here I look in Daniel chapter 2, and I'll pick it up in about verse 31, having to jump into a big story here. Daniel's talking. He says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out." Here it is. Here's a stone that was cut out without hands, "which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away. No place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. This smiting stone, this stone that hits the image that represents all the world governments, from the world government of Babylon all the way down past Rome, which was the belly and the legs of iron, and all the way down to the 10 toes on the image, which represents the united type world, mixed up world that we live in today. I sometimes call it the Antichrist kingdom. Somebody says, "Well, that's coming." I think it's already here. We just haven't recognized it to a great degree yet, but it's moving in very, very fast. I like the statement here, though, where it says this stone is cut out without hands. Do you know what that means to us? That means it's not man-made. You know, sometime today you pay more for something that's man-made. I was talking to somebody the other day about a special car, and they said, "Well, the motor's handmade." I thought in the old days, that's all of them were handmade, amen. But anyway, you pay more now for that sort of thing. But man-made has to do with hands. Here's a stone cut out without hands. Now, there is some things you can do without hands today. I had this note sent to me. I don't think he'll mind using my name. I think he's up in Tennessee or somewhere. George Temple sent me this note. And he said, "I thought you'd like this." I'll read it to you. Orville Smith, a store manager in Best Buy in Augusta, Georgia, told police he observed a male customer, later identified as Tyrone Jackson of Augusta, on his survey camera, putting a laptop computer under his jacket. When confronted, the man became irate, knocked down an employee, drew a knife, and ran for the door. Outside on the sidewalk were four Marines collecting toys for the Toys for Tots program. Smith said the Marines stopped the man, and he stabbed one of the Marines in the back. The injury did not appear to be severe. After the police and an ambulance arrived at the scene, the captain that was stabbed was transported for treatment. The subject was also transported to the local hospital with two broken arms, a broken ankle, a broken leg, several missing teeth, possible broken ribs, multiple contusions, assorted lacerations, a broken nose, and a broken jaw. Injuries he all sustained when he slipped and fell on the curb. According to a police report. Yes. I do like that. Apparently no hands touched him. Taken care of without hands. Just tripped on the curb. Amen. Well, some of you don't have my sense of humor about that, but most things today are man-made. God's got a stone come and it's cut out without hands. We know who it is. We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he's on the way. And the choir was singing about it a while ago. You know, as Bible believers, things are moving fast. If you are any kind of student of the Word of God, and especially prophecy studies, you know things are really moving on. I mean, the prophecies are being fulfilled. The Bible is being fulfilled, and a lot of things are happening. Better watch something. The new Pope's about to be enthroned. I'm not going to preach on the last Pope, though. They say it is. Catholicism says it's probably the last Pope, and I'll get to that later. Right now, I want to talk to you about the last rock or the final rock. Amen. You know, in the past, in the Bible, you can read about judgment stones in the past, in the Bible. I won't let you turn to it for sake of time, but if you were to go to the book of Joshua, Joshua's leading a warfare. He's out there leading the armies. He's out there fighting against the Amorites, and he's winning, and God's told him to, and God's told him he's going to deliver him into his hand. And if you were to get over in Joshua chapter 10, you'll read where God got in the battle, and he began to drop hailstones from heaven on the enemy, on the Amorites. And it says that more of the enemy was killed that day with the hailstones that dropped from God out of heaven than there was killed by the sword of the Israeli soldiers. God took part in the battle. In fact, if you go in the future, that was in the past. If you go in the future, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36 through 39, you'll read where a coalition of nations are going to move against Israel in the last days. We're seeing that shaping up right now. In fact, you watch in the news how Russia is befriending Syria, and that's two of the nations that are going to be in that coalition to move against Israel. It's all shaping up. It's about to happen. But God tells us in Ezekiel 36 through 38, about the battle, and God's going to drop hailstones out of heaven. And I'll tell you what that would do to any army camped in tents. I mean, when God begins to let things fall out of heaven on you, brother, that ought to be a clue you're on the wrong side. Amen. And that's exactly what the Bible predicts. Now, I know, I hear all the evolution stuff, and they say there was a big asteroid that come millions or 10 millions, depends on what university you're reading after, whether it was 10 billion or 10 million years ago, and wiped out the dinosaurs. I'm not so sure about that. It could have been, but I think God could have done it any other kind of way that he wanted to. I just think enough of them didn't get on the ark myself. But you know, God controls the rocks. He controls it all. He controls his creation. Did you ever read where Jesus came in on Palm Sunday, and the children and the disciples were waving branches and laying clothes down in front of the donkey? Remember the story? And how they were praising him, and they were saying, "Hosanna in the highest." And you remember the religious crowd said, "Shut them up. They shouldn't be saying that." And he said, if they didn't cry out, the very rocks would cry out. I read some kind of scientific thing one time where it says the rocks have ability to store up sounds in them. Well, I know one thing, God can make them talk if he wants to. God can use any of his creation any kind of way. The only part of God's creation that rebels on him, you guessed it, is us. It's us. But in the past, stones were used for judgment. God controls them. But as you read in the Bible, you understand that Christ is a type of the rock. The rock is a type of Christ, is better to say. I look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go with me there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And pick it up with me in about Oh, I want you to see the picture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll find it in a minute, about verse 4. You see the type here. He's talking about them coming out of Egypt, coming out in the wilderness, coming out with the cloud above them and the fire at night. And he says in verse 3 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. God fed them in the wilderness, remember? And watch this, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, with a capital R on it in your King James, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Do you understand the truth that is being taught there to us? The final rock, the stone cut out without hands, that's going to strike the world governments at such a time they think they put a global government together, at such a time they think they're in charge of it all, at such a time as the Antichrist kingdom is beginning to reach its peak, there's going to be a stone coming, cut out without hands, that's going to hit the image on the feet and bring the whole thing down. And that is Christ. Oh, he was the spiritual rock in the desert when he led the Israelites, and when he supplied the drink for them and the food for them and so forth. The final rock was Christ. Now let me ask some questions about this one in Daniel 2. Let's first ask why it's coming. Well, it's coming in judgment. Folks, we have a world that has so changed and so moved until the word Jesus Christ used properly is almost a dirty word. Do you know street preachers and missionaries and various ones are actually being put in jail in what we would think of nations? There's preachers been jailed in England under the charge of hate crimes for preaching what the Bible says against false religion. There's been even in Canada and even some in America where preachers have stood up and preached what the Bible has to say against homosexuality, and they're charged with hate crimes. Freedom of speech is no longer what it used to be. We got a world gathering in an antichrist spirit against God. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the governments will be when the smiting stone cut out without hand arrives. He's coming in judgment. In judgment, we have this thing, false worship. It's crazy to keep up with it. It really, really is. I think it'll get so bad, and I believe it's really right there now. For instance, when an asteroid is coming and they are able to predict it, and they're saying now maybe we'll see it 5 years out there and we'll be able to blow it out of the sky, I want to say I don't know if God's going to give a sign, if he's going to give a warning when the smiting stone, the Lord Jesus, is heading back. Will the governments of the world be aiming their lasers to stop him? Just speculating. Could be. There's that much against him, that's for sure. But you know, false worship today, taking the place of God, we can't imagine how bad it's getting in some places. This was in the Sword of the Lord this week or last week. Somebody gave it to me. Title of it is Hundreds Memorialized, get it right, Slain Elk. Now that's a big deer for you folks that don't know. In Boulder, Colorado. Says Boulder, Colorado is one of the most left-wing cities in Colorado. It's no wonder then that hundreds of residents turned up for a memorial service for a slain elk shot by a local police officer. I'm going to hurry through this. The elk was honored with a makeshift memorial of candles, songs, and stories. Several hundred people attended a vigil Sunday for the elk that was killed by a police officer. It had wandered into a neighborhood, was tearing up the yards and stuff. Police officers showed up, thought it was already limping and hurt, and he shot it. A second police officer showed up and said, let's don't waste the meat. So they took it and had it processed. Now both police officers have been suspended. And the neighborhood the elk was tearing up is having a memorial service, burning candles and singing songs. That's what our country has deteriorated into when they left God behind, when they left this book behind. That's where we have moved to, folks. I'm saying to you, when Jesus returns, I do think they'll be resisting him. I do think if he came back humble like he did the first time, they'd crucify him again. But he's not coming back that way again. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion, and he's coming back to take charge of his creation, and they're finally going to find out who the creator is and stop worshiping the creature instead. No, he's coming because he's coming in judgment this time. Coming in judgment. You see, we're into false worship. The biggest worship we got going on in America is the I worship. I, like in me. I, like in self. You think I'm joking? Many of you, you listen to iTunes on your iPod. That's right. You talk on your iPhone. You play on your iPad. You work on your iMac. It's the I generation. Me first. I am the only one important. It's all about me. And that's what we've come to in our country today. Opposite of what this book teaches. Opposite of what pleases God. It's all about me. I. Well, this smiting stone is coming. He's not coming back as the stumbling block that many see him as. He's coming back as a smiting stone. The stone cut out without hands. Where's it going to land? The scripture says in Daniel 2 there, it's going to hit the image that represents all the world kingdoms. It's going to hit it on the feet. It's going to bring it down, all that man has piled up, all of his wealth, and all that he is proud of is going to be brought down when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And the text says that when this smiting stone comes, it's going to become a kingdom. It's going to fill the whole earth. That's the millennial reign. That's the kingdom age. That's when, you know, people stand in church buildings like this everywhere, and they say, "Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come." It's coming. It's coming. And it's going to be on earth right here, and there's going to be a king that's going to rule over it. He is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. He is going to be the boss, and his word is going to be law then. The truth of the matter is, I know it's the fleshly side of myself. I know it's probably not the most spiritual part of me that says, "Goody, goody." I'm just waiting to see the shock that's going to be on some folks' face that are rejecting and despising and mocking the Lord today. They are going to find out who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They are going to find out who is boss. They're going to find out it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God that God said he was well pleased in, that he's going to sit on his holy hill. And the truth is, a lot of folks are going to be shocked at that. I can't get over hardly much of the blasphemy that I hear. But it lands. It's going to land on government's head. All the UN forces gathered to stop Christ will not stop him. All the modern weapons, all the technology, all it will not stop him. When he comes back as a stone cut without hands, the one that hits the image on the feet, the one that brings the world kingdoms down, it's going to happen just like this book says it's going to happen. And you say, "Well, the important thing is when." Well, the scripture pretty well tells us when. He's coming back. If you went to the book of Revelation, you'd start out with a vision of Christ in chapter 1. In chapter 2 and 3, you'd have the message to the seven churches. In chapter 4, you'd have John called up to heaven around the throne. In chapter 5, you'd see the Lamb taking the book, the one that won it by his blood, taking the book from him that sat upon the throne. And then in chapter 6, that seven-seal book is beginning to be opened. And you have the first four riders of the horses of the apocalypse showing up. And from chapter 6 to chapter 19, you have all the troubles that's going to come and all the wrath that's going to fall on planet Earth. But when you get to chapter 19, the heavens opened again. Guess who shows up? The Lord Jesus, the smiting stone, the one riding upon a white horse, leading the armies of heaven. And he's going to come back, brother, to take over his creation. That is when the smiting stone comes. When he strikes the government upon the feet and brings it all down. That's at the end of what Bible college and Bible students and Bible believers call the tribulation period. Tribulation period will go from about chapter 4 to about chapter 19 when the Lord comes back, and then he'll set up his kingdom on earth when he comes back and when he takes over. And so what you have here is the smiting stone showing up, bringing down the world governments, and Christ setting up his throne. You know, wouldn't it be good if you could get some folks in Washington, D.C. to believe that? Oh, instead you got everybody into the Star Wars type stuff, all the computer-generated images out there, all of that business. Some of you think that's new, but when I was in the third grade, I used to read in the funny papers. There was a cartoon strip there, Sears strip called Flash Gordon. Anybody ever remember Flash Gordon? Some of you kids wouldn't know about that. Flash Gordon. That was in the funny papers. Yeah, we had funny papers back then. We got our laughs there. Now we get them out of Washington, D.C., but we got our laughs back then off the comic page. Amen. And all this stuff you're seeing in computer image, we saw it in the funny papers. I remember Flash Gordon being trapped on a planet, and there he was, and all of a sudden he figured out the mass of gravity and how weak it was, and he figured if I can just jump high enough, I'll float out in space. And he did, and he did. And a spaceship come along, and he hitchhiked a ride. So that's far out, not as far out as what you've been watching. Amen. I'm just saying to you, I'm saying something very simple to you. The Lord is coming, like he said, and it's dead serious business whether you're ready to meet him or not. You heard Sister Johnson singing a while ago, look in the book again. You see, we're in the business right now of which rock we're going to choose. Right. Jesus became a stumbling stone, a stumbling rock. He's a stumbling stone to you. He's a stumbling rock to you. You trip over him if you don't believe in him, if you don't receive him. He's a stumbling stone. Peter said he's a rock of offense. And how many folks today are calling him a rock of offense? I'm offended. Offended. I went to Landmark Baptist Church and I got offended. Well, join the crowd. In fact, sometime if I don't offend you, be offended I didn't offend you. Because I got everybody else, amen? There is an offense to Christ. There is an offense to believe in this book. There is an offense to what this book will tell you to do to live right as a Christian. You'd get offended all you want to. He'd be your rock of offense, or he'd be your rock of ages. Whichever you want him to be, brother. You're making a choice. You're making a choice in this day and time. Whose side you going to be when the stone cut without hands comes back to take over and set up his kingdom? Which rock is he to you this morning? You know, Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he said to us that believe, talking about this rock, to us that believe, he is precious. He is precious. He is precious to me. Is he precious to you this morning? I remember I hadn't been saved very long. One of the first songs that got a hold of my heart in church was Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I began to meditate on those words. Grandma had lived with us most of my life as a kid. I'd remembered her from as early as I could remember mother. And we loved her like she was our mother. Grandma got to be about 86. Sonia and I had been married a few years. I'd been saved just a short while. And Grandma passed away. And we went up to a funeral, a little country church up in South Georgia. And Grandma was a believer. I knew that all my life. She always had that old King James Bible with no cover on it. She'd sit at the door and warn me before I'd go out for a wild weekend of racing or something. But went to the funeral. And a little country church there. And some lady with a nice voice got up and sang, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And I sat there as a new Christian, understanding and drinking deeply that he was my rock. He was the one that brought me peace. He was the one I had victory. He was the one that was assuring me Grandma was just going to be gone a little while and I'd see her again. Became precious, as Peter says, precious. If you know him as Savior, he's a precious rock. That's what Peter was saying. Others call him a rock of offense. Others get offended. But oh, if you know him as Savior, and you know what he did for you when he died on the cross and shed his blood for you, he's a precious rock. He's a precious rock. You know, we either receive him today or we reject him. Stumbling block, stumbling stone to those that reject him. Coming back to his enemies as a smiting stone. But to you and I that know him, he's a precious stone. A precious stone. Cleft for me. He's our hiding place. You know, some artist, I read this years ago. I saw the picture. Years ago, some talented artist was asked to paint a picture of peace. I'm sure it was a religious picture he was supposed to paint. They gave him his own prerogative. They said, "Paint us a picture that of peace." And when they looked at the picture at first, it was a great big picture. It was like the Rock of Gibraltar, and the storm was coming, and the clouds was dark and blue, and the waves were crashing upon the stone, and the wind was blowing, and they said, "We told you to paint a picture of peace, but this looks like turmoil. This looks like trouble. There's a storm brewing, and the waves are high, and the wind is blowing, and the sky is dark. We want a picture of peace." He said, "Look a little closer." And they got a little closer. And they saw in that rock a crevice, a crack. And he said, "Look in the crack." And they looked in the crack. There was a little bird sitting in there in safety, sitting in there in peace, sitting in there with no worries, sitting in there with no trouble. No fear of the storm, no fear of the waves. It was all at peace. See, that's what Jesus is for me. Amen. Let the storms rage on. The Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Oh, yes, I'm hid in him. He's my peace. Do you have that peace this morning? Do you know what I'm talking about? I remember as a young man coming to the church and hearing a preacher preach the gospel. And I received Christ as my Savior, and I want to tell you, I've been abiding in peace ever since. All the smiting stones coming. It'll be the final stone, but no fear for me. He's my champion coming back. He's my Savior coming back. He's the one that's given me victory. He's the one that was cleft for me, and I've found peace within him. To receive Christ today as Savior is to receive that peace. Let the UN rage. Let the nations have all the rage they want. It's okay. The smiting stone is fixing to set up his kingdom. He'll be the final one. I don't know how many is coming, how many rocks are going to hit America or something, but I know one I'm wanting to come on. That's my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do you know him as your Savior today? I pray you do. Let's bow our heads, please. How many of you can say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about. I have peace in Jesus. Oh, I know the storm is raging on the outside, but within my heart, I've got peace." He is the rock that was cleft for me. He is my Rock of Ages. Preacher, if I died today, it'd be okay. If I live today, it'll be okay. If trouble comes, it'll be okay. Whatever comes, I'm in that crevice. I'm in that cleft. I have that peace. Can you say that by the uplifted hand? He's my Savior. I'm trusting Him. Let the world rage, but I'm okay. He's my Savior. Can you lift that hand? Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, Preacher, I don't have that peace. I think I know what you were talking about. I know some Christians that do have it. Maybe your mother had that peace, or your dad, or your friend, but you don't have it. You're still trying to face the storms by yourself, and you're losing. Are you here today?